Wasn't that a mighty day? What a joy to celebrate the coming of the King. And we continue this morning in our Advent series. And if you wonder, Advent simply means coming. And so we take a pause from our normal routines of life to ponder the wonder that Jesus, God's eternal Son, has come, born of Mary, born a man, to be the door, the light, the bread, the good shepherd, the savior of the world. This morning, as we continue our series, we'll be focusing on Jesus as the good shepherd. And of all the I am statements, this is the only one that really emphasizes a personal relationship, the relationship of a loving shepherd with his needy sheep. And so we're going to focus today on the good shepherd and how he cares for his sheep. And so if you would please open your Bibles, we'll be John chapter 10, verse 1 through 16. If you haven't got a Bible, there should be one in the seat in front of you, and we'll be on page 896. Hear the word of God. John chapter 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He was a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to me. So there will be one flock and one shepherd." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for the joy to ponder the Good Shepherd and all that he's done for us. And I pray that as we hear your word this morning, your Spirit would write it deep in our hearts. Lord, you'd convince us of what we're really like and what Jesus is really like and our desperate need for him. Encourage your people and teach them by your Spirit. We pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. So today, as we prepare for Christmas, may God help us treasure our Good Shepherd in a new and rich way. My message in a nutshell this morning is this: when we recognize our need and trust Jesus as our Good Shepherd, we will enjoy abundant lives filled with purpose, peace, joy, and love. So as we study this passage on the Good Shepherd, I'd like us to consider first the need to admit our neediness. Second, what does it mean that Jesus is the Good Shepherd? And third, how do we experience abundant life with the Good Shepherd? So let's begin admitting our neediness. Of course, There are times when all of us want to look tough and independent and in control, but it's helpful to admit there are moments in life when we really would appreciate someone to make us lie down in green pasture by still waters who would quiet our souls. I think of families in the Ukraine today or in Nigeria or parts of the Middle East where simply naming Jesus' name puts one at deadly risk. There are families in financial distress and people wrestling with deep personal issues. There are those caring for the sick or aging and you're exhausted. And there are parents of young children and you know about sleepless nights. Relationships can be hard. Crime is on the rise. And it seems like there are wolves just outside the door howling. Having a good and powerful shepherd makes a difference. Jesus' original audience knew quite well what Jesus was speaking about as he talked about sheep and shepherd. And yet, most of us are fairly ignorant about sheep. And even if we understand shepherding today, shepherding in Jesus' day and in our day are quite different. So why talk about sheep and why talk about shepherds? After all, what are sheep really like? Let me begin by saying this is not a compliment Jesus is paying to us. The reality is of all the barnyard creatures, sheep are the dumbest of all. They require constant care. They are so inclined to trouble. They take more work than any of the other animals. Sheep are fearful and they're stubborn. They're ready to follow other sheep down barren paths when there's green grass right around them. They are prone to wander off and get stuck in thorn and thistle or to drop off a cliff or down a steep ravine. They're troublesome creatures and they've even been heard of to wander into campfires and get ignited. Like burning sheep is not a good picture. And one thing I recently learned about sheep studying for this sermon is one of the problems sheep have is even when they lie down. Sheep that are pregnant or have a heavy coat of wool, if they're not careful and lie down like with a dip in the ground, they can tip over. And when a sheep tips over, they literally cannot get back up. And so they have their little hooves in the air. And unless someone literally comes by and tips them back up, they'll die there, tipped over. And it is amazing to think sheep have no means of self-defense. When thieves or robbers come in, they're just prey. They can be stolen or killed with terrible ease. Just a few years ago in northern Spain, our Spain team was there ministering on the way of St. James. And I had the honor to talk with a shepherd and he was sharing about some of the most difficult days of his life. And one day an emergency happened at home. He had to leave his flock. And so he found a big field and corralled them all there. And he went to attend to his need, came back in the morning and a bloodthirsty wolf had gotten into the field and had slain over 70 of his sheep. One night, a flock without a shepherd brought such destruction. You see, sheep cannot survive alone. They are lost or dead without their shepherd. Now, all this information is instructive, but it doesn't help until we realize that we are like sheep. We're so prone to wander, so easily miscalculate the dangers that are around us, and how often we feel strong and mighty, but don't realize that one cruel stroke could mean death or ruin. I suspect all of us can recount times when we've wandered off into deep trouble. What we may have thought were insignificant decisions have brought years of serious consequence. As smart and wonderful as we are, it is actually helpful to admit that we are like sheep. And when we do, we understand our desperate need for a good shepherd. This is the first step to the gospel, to understanding that we desperately need a good shepherd. And when that happens, and when we recognize what Jesus has come for and who he is, that prepares our hearts for tremendous joy. So secondly, let's consider, what does it mean when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd? He also says, I'm the door. And before we launch here, I want you to know, as you get to know Jesus better, you'll realize he mixes his metaphors. And so he's talking about the good shepherd, and now he's talking about the door. And what he's talking about is, in those days, oftentimes in the evenings, the sheep would come in, the shepherd would bring the flock in, and they'd gather several flocks into a pen like this. And the pen was high walls, so not even large wolves could leap in, and there was a gap in that sheep pen. And the shepherd would spend the night there. In that gap, the shepherd became the door. So no wolves, no thieves could come in, and no sheep could wander out. Jesus has become the door. Again, in verse 9, he says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will come in. He will go in and out and find pasture. Now, many of you may not know, but those who heard Jesus, immediately their minds went to Psalm 121, which talks about our keeper. Here's what the scripture says. Psalm 121, verse 7 and 8. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. Jesus is our keeper. He never sleeps on the job. He never wanders off. He is with us always to guard us and keep us. But you may not have caught Jesus' twist. In Psalms, it talks about going out and coming in. Jesus shifts the direction and says, come in and be saved. And then go out. And the reason is because our Christian life begins by coming in to Christ, by coming in through the door. And in that act of faith, we're saved. We find pasture, we find rest and joy and peace that we've never known before. Just as in Psalm 23, the shepherd makes us lie down. And then later, he leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Jesus begins by saving us, then leading us. He makes us his sheep. He becomes a home for the homeless. He becomes rest for the weary, refuge from the storm, fortress in times of danger and distress. He is the Prince of Peace. There's a word for that in Hebrew that we can't even really translate, but it's shalom. It means this peace that encompasses all of life. This joy and rest that comes because of this relationship with the good shepherd. So the shepherd calls us to come in and to receive salvation, blessing, healing, and love. Come in for nurture and rest. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He also sends us out. We go out for green pasture and for impact. God's sheep go out to bless the world. But think with me. How can a flock of sheep bless the world? How can sheep change the world? Well, a couple things sheep offer is exquisite cheese and the warmest of wool. And so God sends us out to feed and to clothe, to care and to demonstrate the reality of who the good shepherd really is. I just thought for fun, I want us to help us see ourselves as the sheep of his shepherd. So I have a new picture of our congregation, and I just want you to see, this is Blacksburg Christian Fellowship, and what a joy to realize. This is us. We come in. We find salvation. We find rest. And then we go out to bless, to feed, and to clothe, and to bleach. Good news! Good news! It's amazing. This is God's grace. But mind you, as sheep, we have no teeth for mauling, no claws to defend ourselves. So even as we go out, we need to stay close to the Good Shepherd. Jesus says, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. This is Jesus' mission statement. Jesus has come that we might have life and have it abundantly. He's come. This is the why of Christmas. Jesus came to transform us so that our lives would overflow with joy and peace and with love. That's why he came. You see what Jesus wants for you. C.S. Lewis commented that we content ourselves as children playing in the mud puddle in the alley behind the house when there's a vacation at the shore just waiting for us. And so it is that we try to content ourselves with fine dining or exotic destinations or sexual pursuits or fancy cars or big salaries. We want name recognition or tailgate parties or beach condos. But like cotton candy, those things can be very sweet, but they disappear and we're left dissatisfied. Instead of satisfaction, they only leave us empty. Contrast that with abundant life. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forever. But do you wonder, how can he care so well for his sheep? In verse 14 and 15, it says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own. And my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. This statement should stop us in our tracks. Jesus compares our relationship with the relationship he enjoys with the Heavenly Father. And when you think of the intimacy, of the commitment, of the devotion and affection between the Father and the Son, that is the way Jesus knows us and the way he invites us to know him. Do you want to know Jesus like that? This is eternal life, to know the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This relationship satisfies. Those who know their God will be strong and do exploits. His shepherd love satisfies, fills us with joy and gives us rest, all because we know the Good Shepherd. But one moment, do you really want to be known? Or do you have some fear of being known? What things in your life might you be hiding? A shameful event, a tragic decision, a sin pattern you hope no one discovers? How do you go about hiding and keeping those things hidden, those secrets? Remember, for Adam and Eve, fig leaves did not do a very good job. And I want you to know that if you're Jesus' sheep, he knows you. He knows your deepest longings, your greatest ambitions, your darkest fear, your most painful regrets. He knows everything about you, the wonderful, glorious things, and the very worst about you. And still, he loves you with an infinite love. He wants you to know how broad and how wide, how high, how deep is his love for you. I've done things so dumb that I've surprised myself. I've said things so cruel I shocked myself. Maybe you were like me in that way. It's painful to see how evil our hearts can be. But the Good Shepherd doesn't shudder. He knows us better than we know ourselves. So how does he respond in those shocking moments? What does he do? Does he reject you? Does he send you off to slaughter? No. You remember in Luke chapter 15, he goes after you. He leaves the 99 and he goes after you foolish sheep. And he hunts you until he finds you. And then he gathers you up. And what does he do when he finds you? Does he berate you and curse you? Does he hate you and humiliate you and continually remind you of your foolish faults? No. He throws a party. He throws a party because you've been found and you're not lost any longer. Heaven celebrates when one of those wandering sheep come back to the fold. Have you wandered? And are you hearing his voice this morning saying, come, come back, come home. I'm waiting. I'm looking. I'm seeking for you. What sort of shepherd is Jesus? He's the kind that sacrifices everything for the sheep. There are others. Jesus calls them hired hands. And you know why the hired hand hangs around the sheep? It's a living. Hanging around smelly, ornery, stupid sheep pays the bills. So people do it. But listen. There may be people that you're following, influencers, that say they will lead you. They may promise to keep you. But when trouble comes, oh, they'll run. They'll run because they don't love you. They love themselves. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, loves you. So we've seen the importance to recognize our need and what kind of shepherd Jesus really is. But let's ask lastly, how do we experience abundant life with the Good Shepherd? Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. We experience abundant life by getting to know his voice. Now, there are people who know this book and they don't know the voice of the shepherd. But you will never know the voice of the shepherd until you get to know this book. The shepherd speaks. And this is the word of God. And so we hear him through the scriptures. And so as we meditate and study and pray, hear the word preach, and in the dark of night as we pray over the word of God, we hear his voice. And he speaks to us and he leads us. He speaks as we get to hear his voice. And you know, this is like any relationship. How do you get to know anybody's voice? You know, someone calls on the telephone and you know who that is because you've heard that voice over time. And the same way as we hear Jesus' voice over time in the scriptures, we know, oh, that's Jesus. And he wants me to go this way. So the second thing we need to do is we need to follow him closely. Where he leads, we follow. And that requires trust. This is the heart of the Christian life. God has not called you to follow a program or to follow a plan or even to follow a map. God has called you to follow the Good Shepherd, this personal, intimate relationship where he actually leads you and cares for you. This is why we must know him. To be frank, there are times when you don't want to follow him. When he asks you to take up your cross and to put to death your selfishness. When he points out a sin and calls you to ask for forgiveness. When you're exhausted or burdened with many things and he leads you to serve someone else. And you're just not excited about that. But following him, even when we don't prefer, is the path of abundant life. It's in those times when we don't want to follow, we need to stop and ask ourselves. We need to ask, would the Almighty Shepherd lead me to my destruction? Would the all-wise Shepherd have anything than God's best in store for me? As we get to know the Good Shepherd, we realize there's no better place to be than close at His side and following His voice. There's no one who will ever love you like the Good Shepherd loves you. There's no one who will sacrifice for you as the Good Shepherd has sacrificed for you. Listen, God says, He who did not spare His own Son, but freely gave Him for us all, will He not also with Him freely give us all things? The Good Shepherd cares for you, and so we're to follow Him. Thirdly, we need to learn to feed from Him. Again, in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, you remember when God led His people out of Egypt toward the promised land, in the wilderness, He fed them manna from heaven. And even when they grumbled and asked for meat, when He sent them meat, He sent meat from heaven. He sent them quail. Something that we learn as we learn to feed from Him is that He will nourish us from heaven. That is quite different from the way wolves live. Wolves survive by consuming others. And before we met Christ, all of us were rather wolf-like, kind of spiritual carnivores. We sought to fill ourselves from those around us. And we looked to others to satisfy us. But when Jesus made us His sheep, we're now learning to feed from Him. Fourthly, we experience abundant life when He uses us to bring in other sheep. You see, when we come in and go out, we interact with others and they behold His goodness in our life. And they hear us bleating, good news. And in the mystery and marvel of the Sovereign King, some come. And they come to the Good Shepherd. And they enter in and they are saved. And so when the Good Shepherd uses us to help draw in others, there is a tremendous joy, a satisfaction that can only be described as supernatural. The Good Shepherd uses us to draw in others. And lastly, Jesus' sheep have no fear of death. When we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil, for He is with us. Have you come to the place in your relationship with the Good Shepherd that you have no fear of death, but a confidence? Remember, even there, as David wraps up Psalm 23, he says, He sets a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me to the end of my life. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Yes, forever. You see, the Good Shepherd isn't just committed to leading you in this life. He will lead you forever. And so, because of our relationship with the Good Shepherd, the sheep don't even fear death. And that gives us a tremendous confidence. Because Jesus' sheep have no fear of death, they can take risks for the kingdom. They're willing to sacrifice everything because He has sacrificed everything for us. Like the woman who broke the vial of precious ointment and poured it out over Jesus, we want our lives to be broken and poured out so that people might know the fragrant aroma of His love. Now, in all likelihood, in any group this size, there may be some who are not yet His sheep. Perhaps you've been around the church for a while, or someone invited you this morning, and we are so thankful that you're here. But I hope that you understand the Good Shepherd laid down His life for you, and He's calling. It was here that Jesus pointed ahead to giving his life for our sin at Calvary. You see, we all have a fatal problem, and that is we're more like wolves than like sheep. Only Jesus can change your nature and make you like a sheep, which takes a miracle. And so he bore on the cross all your guilt, all your shame, all your sin, and he was condemned and he died. But death could not hold him. He conquered death in the resurrection and he rose again. And now, as the victorious shepherd, he's calling. And you need only understand that you are like a sheep. You need a good shepherd. And you might even this morning say, Lord Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. I want to enter in, to come in, that you would save me and you would feed me and you would care for me and keep me, that I might know your love and enjoy being one of your sheep forever. And thus we're saved. And if you are one of his sheep, he calls you today to hearken to his voice, to follow closely, to enjoy being near to the shepherd, and with great courage to come in and go out and continue bleeding. Good news! Good news! Let's pray. Father, how we thank you for the good shepherd, for his love, for his death, for his care, for his keeping. We pray that you would help us to hearken to your voice, to feed from your word, to walk in your way, and to offer our lives that others might be saved, that your kingdom would come, that the flock would grow, and you would get all the glory. Thank you that the good shepherd has come. We thank you in his name. Amen.